Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Jags Den Podcast. I am your host, Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino, making a triumphant return this week. And we are at full staff here, guys. We're going full pads this week on the podcast. We got our fearless leader, James Johnson. We have Jacob DeLawrence. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing this afternoon?
We're good. Although it's 8 o'clock in the evening, 8:40 in the evening.
This evening.
Yeah, I was going to say, James, who this?
I know, right? Who is this guy? He hasn't been on in 20 episodes.
I'm going to need you to hit in the back seat. You know, I call shotgun, but it's good to have you back, Phil, and it's good to be back at full strength here. So now we have the dynamic duo of Fournette, Yeldon, and, well, I don't want to insult taillights because we've seen your 40. So, yeah, anyway, the trio is back.
I have my chance to redeem myself for that. That's fine.
I don't think there is redemption, but continue on.
And yeah, I'm good, by the way. I've been hanging in there.
It is good to be back here with you guys, and shout out to Jay and Jacob for holding it down and you know, keeping the podcast rolling while I've been handling some stuff here in my personal life. So I really do appreciate you guys. And of course, before we get started, make sure you're checking out all the Jaguars news on jaguarswire.usatoday.com. Of course, follow the podcast at Jags Den Podcast, as well as the site at The Jaguars Wire. And then you can find Jay at sportsgrind_Don and _JDella for Jacob. Of course, our audio links are on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, as well as on USA Today's Audio Boom Network. And gentlemen, it is great to be back with you guys talking football. We're about to get back in the swing of things. As of today, I'm not sure when this podcast is going to go up, but tomorrow we will officially have football back, and we will not go without football until February. The Hall of Fame game is tomorrow. I'm probably not going to watch it, but you know, it's good to have football back, and we're here to talk a little Jaguars football, of course, and training camp. So let's just get it right into it. Of course, with the quick hits, we will talk about a couple things before we get into our main topic. So the first topic here, the Jaguars have signed running back Devontae Mays to their roster. They waived injured running back Taj McGowan. The Jaguars did release a little bit of information on their website about Devontae Mays. He is a 5'11". 237-pound running back. He attended Utah State and was drafted in the seventh round in the 2017 draft by the Packers. After appearing in 8 games for Green Bay, he spent weeks 8 through 17 of the 2018 season on the Cleveland Browns practice squad. So really, Jay, is this probably just more so a body to fill out the roster for camp, or is this a name that maybe Jaguar fans should take note of?
Yeah, he's definitely it's a camp body, and it just seems to be a case of where – they just saw the opportunity, depending on how extensive McGowan's injury is, to just add a guy in his place. I think when it's all said and done, if I can recall correctly, McGowan, if he clears waivers, he'll be able to revert to their injured reserve list. And so, you know, he can he'll be a part of the roster in the future. Probably not, of course, this year, but there is that. So, yeah, they probably saw a opportunity. You know, McGowan might be going for, let's just say, for example, what, 4, 5, 6 days a week or something. They figured probably they should probably just go ahead and put him on IR, get somebody to get reps in his place in the process, because as we all know, the pads have gone on, even though Marone has kind of dialed down his approach in terms of the physicality, not to say they're having soft practices out there, but he's dialing back with the physicality, which we should actually talk about later. But yeah, they figured they should probably get somebody to take some snaps and some reps in McGowan's place. And Mays is just that. He's a little bit bigger, as you said. He's in that, what, 230 range. So he's a guy that he may have that physicality like Leonard Fournette. So I think that's a theme that we should pay attention to, is it looks like they want more guys like Leonard Fournette. And they may feel like they have enough of the quicker guys, if you will, the scat backs, or the guys who aren't as physical.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just a camp body. Like Jay said, it's just, hey, one man went down. Let's go pick up somebody real quick. He's played in the league a little bit. Like you said, he's 5'11", 237, physical. Just in line with the regular backs. It's nothing special, nothing to really be like, I wonder if he can make the roster. So,
all right, guys. Yeah. So, really not a new thing for new names to come in and out of training camp during this time. So, probably nothing too noteworthy there. However, The next quick hit we'll get to is apparently the Jaguars, according to a study, has come in as the most vulgar fan base in the NFL. We did it, guys. We're number one in something. We finally did it. Woo! Let's go, Jags.
Let's celebrate. Beach bars, baby.
And I believe this was based off of their subreddits and based off of the vocabulary used in the in said subreddits. Now, I don't know what you guys think about this. Now, I did see somebody commenting on Facebook. A friend had posted this study, and someone had made a point that they consider Blake Bortles' nickname around here was Big D Bortles, and apparently they count that as a vulgar word. So wow. Maybe these numbers are a little bit skewed, but yeah,
we'll take that L, that win.
Yeah, having been to quite a few Jaguar games in my day, I guess I'm not surprised. I honestly thought Oakland would be number one if I had to take a guess, but yeah, we're number one, most vulgar. Let's get shirts.
I would think Philly would be. I mean,
oh even, yeah, Philly.
Yeah, like I mean, it's the city of brotherly love, but they have a colorful vocabulary. So I would. I mean, just upon, like, if you told me a study was going on, I'd be like, oh, yeah, Philly's going to probably finish first in that. But then again, Philly has been successful lately. It hasn't been a lot of reason to throw out cuss words. So I guess, you know, that you got to take that into account. Although I think they did, like, rank, like, second on the list. I don't even have it before me right now. But that being said,
Tennessee is number two.
They are. Okay.
Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Oakland, and then Miami. Top five.
Oakland, and I don't know how Miami got in there. That's a little weird. I mean, I know they've been losing a lot lately, but still. But anyway, that being said, as for the Jaguars, I think what this might be a case of, and I don't know the details behind the study yet, but for one, the Jacksonville Jaguars have one of the smaller fan bases out there. So when you put those numbers into effect with, like, you do an equation with how many cuss words is being thrown out there per person, I think that's how they did it. Like, per 10 Jags fans, how many swears have been used, then that makes sense that we would basically be first in it. Because for one, our sample size is smaller. We have the smaller fan base. But at the same time, we've been losing to the point where the few Jags fans that we do have are swearing like crazy, because I'm probably one of them. I would probably be in that mix with people. Although we don't curse here on the Jags Den podcast, if you were to follow, I'm sure, all three of us around in person after a Jazz game, it's quite a colorful vocabulary, I would think.
Yeah, colorful vocabulary is a professional way of putting it.
Right, right. Jacob, what say you on the matter?
Man, this is a bull.
This, man.
No, looking at this, it's, like you said, it's based off every 10 subscribers.
Right.
It's Jacksonville. I don't know how many people that listen to this like actually have it tailgated. Not even been to a Giants game. Just tailgate one. It's very understandable how we would top a list like this. What's interesting is you mentioned Philly, and I was sitting here scrolling through the list. Philly is number 30.
Yeah, they're way down there.
Yeah, well, they got, again, going back to what I was saying, they have a lot to be happy about these days. You know, they got a franchise quarterback. They got, you know, they.
Yeah, it's also 10 degrees in November.
That's true.
That's 10 degrees right now, maybe.
That's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, then again, it's 100 degrees year-round down here, it seems like. So.
Right.
But it's interesting, though. You look at the Jags, it's 11.1. It goes 10.8. Then we hit in the sevens for a little bit. We dip to the low fives, high fours. And it's like 4.1, 4.1, and then 2.9, the Arizona Cardinals. And that just tells me there's nothing but old people in Arizona that are fans of the Cardinals.
Possibly. Another thing, yeah, speaking of.
They're probably just staying inside. They don't even check Reddit.
Well, they have it's probably hot in general, but I was about to say they have a dome. So, but I guess that doesn't really help. But what I'm offended by the most is that we're up there with the Titans. And, like, I don't want to be associated with the Titans in anything, especially our vocabulary. So that's a little concerning, man.
That low.
That's very concerning.
Also, at Cowboys least we finally beat the Titans. So, I mean,
yeah.
That's good. So,
yep.
that's nice. But yeah, just an interesting study to come out. And then the very last quick hit that we will get to is a little bit of surprise as far as the reaction that we receive from this former player. So the Jaguars have been doing their top 25 all-time list, and we're getting down towards the top. And it turns out that, and I believe, Jay, you mentioned this has been voted on by local media over the past, you know, since the Jaguars have been around. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm thinking it is a local media deal, because when they announced each player, they would have, you know, somebody, an analyst that they would video talking about, a local analyst that is talking about each player. So I'm assuming, don't quote me on that, but I'm assuming it's a local media thing. I mean, and when you're dealing with players from the Jaguars past, yeah, you would think it would have to be local media members, because obviously the national media doesn't have that strong recollection of the Jaguars enough to put in a vote on this kind of a list. So I would think it's just, yeah, probably a local thing.
Right. So as I mentioned, they've been getting down to the top of the list, and Fred Taylor came in at number two, and he was not shy about his thoughts on that ranking. He took to Twitter and stated, "I'm not sure who voted, but they missed. What were you guys doing for the 11 years I carried the team? One day someone other than me will recognize how valuable I was. I did something only 21 players in history of the game done at my position." So obviously pretty upset that he – oh, and also hashtag what a joke. I forgot about that part. So Fred Taylor, over his career, ran for 11,271 yards. And yeah, not happy. And Jay, you and I were talking about this before we started. We didn't know that he would be this fired up about, you know, this. It's not like this is an all-time, you know, NFL. This is just the Jaguars. And Right. Really wasn't really expecting this kind of reaction from him. I knew it would come down to him and Boselli. And I think most of us expected it to be Boselli.
Right.
Now, if we were just ranking people in general, Boselli wouldn't be in the top 10. But as far as football, you know, I wasn't too surprised that they went with Big Bo. But yeah, what did you guys think about this reaction from Fred?
Yeah, like you said, man, like the first thing that struck me is Fred's such a, and I don't want to speak on him like we know him personally, but I mean, we know him to a degree as fans, as watching this franchise over the last decade and longer than that. But, you know, I didn't know Fred had this in him, for one. Like you said, he's always kind of been a quiet guy, a quiet leader. He's kind of a lead by example guy, a kind of a low tone guy, you know, a guy that you never really saw raising his voice. Not to say he was raising his voice when he saw this, but that being said, I was like, where did this guy come from? Like, that was weird in itself. And I mean, like you said, Phil, if it was voted on by the fans, perhaps, or somebody other than the local media, then he probably would be number one. But the thing is, like I told you beforehand, Boselli is the guy that we constantly are talking about at this point of the year, year in and year out, because he's the guy that is, you know, one of the semifinalists for the Hall of Fame. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, as we know, don't have a player that was drafted by them that's in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, really, this is his time to shine in terms of Boselli. And that being said, the media probably feels that way too, because ultimately they're the ones who help him get into the semifinal part of the Hall of Fame. So it wasn't a shocker that they would put the guy who is essentially the closest to being in the Hall of Fame as the number one guy. So it didn't shock me one bit that they went that route, if it is indeed up to the local media. But the reaction from Fred Taylor shocked me. And personally, yeah, I probably would have put Taylor on there over Boselli, even though I really see him neck and neck in terms of, in my personal opinion, on whether they should even be in the Hall of Fame or whatever the case may be. But yeah, that reaction in itself kind of threw me off. But I mean, you can't blame him for being mad, I guess, at the end of the day, because he has been a crucial part of this franchise.
I mean, he ain't wrong.
He's 17th on the list, by the way, y'all. 17th in terms of all-time rushers. So that's what, 11,695 yards.
We were talking about, he was like top 10. I believe he was like number nine.
He was probably around number nine. Now like I said, he's 17. He's one below Thurman Thomas, who has 12,074 yards. And then he's above Steven Jackson at 18, who has about 200 yards less than him, or maybe a little bit less. Less than that. So,
yeah. Fran's not wrong, and I think he's just fed up and was just like, you know what, let me just remind you exactly everything I've done. Because when I was looking at the list and I was like, oh, Fran Taylor's number two, I was like, who's number one? And I was like, oh yeah, Boselli. And I went, I was like, let me see what the top five looks like. I'm more offended that you put MJD over Brunell. That's my
that's fair. That's Brunell. To me, no disrespect to the legend, Brunell was a average quarterback to me, in my personal opinion. And I think the only thing Brunell has over MJD is longevity. Because I mean, but MJD played the running back position at a time where it's hard to play the running back position, and the life expectancy on a running back is lower. But that being said, I do not think Mark Brunell, I mean, and this is not to disrespect him, I do think he was a good quarterback. I don't think he was great, though.
I think I would like to know the criteria that they used as far as the Brunell versus MJD. I personally as well would put MJD above Brunell.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like you said, longevity has a lot to do with it. And I honestly, if this were up to a fan vote, I wouldn't be surprised if Brunell would probably be up here, maybe in the top three, just because, you know, he was a quarterback.
Right. Oh, yeah. Very beloved. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was up here up in the top. But, you know, I would like to see the criteria that they use. Like you said, it is kind of surprising, but it also is kind of a disservice that Fred has not been in the discussion like Tony has as far as the Hall of Fame. And Jay, we were talking about, the reason being is because nobody has really come to bat for him. And at this point, it may be too late for him for that name to be tossed in, because it should have been done when he was first eligible. And now we're past that point. Not to say that it can't still happen, but, you know, look at how difficult it's been for Tony to get in and Fred. I think definitely was underappreciated, even though those teams, you know, especially the 14-2 year and when he was at his peak, you know, he was in the conversation for one of the best backs in the league.
Right.
But it was just really, you know, surprising to see him feel this, especially since he is employed by the team technically, you know, and I think that's another reason why he was pretty upset.
Right.
But again, not too surprised that they went with Tony. But
yo, Phil, yeah, real quick, I don't want to cut you off on the Hall of Fame thing. I'm looking at the people on the list above him that slightly have more yards than him. And like you said, it might be too late. But if he wanted to make a Hall of Fame argument, and people like Pete Prisco, who you know, who's been around Jacksonville and is a well-known national analyst, wanted to make that case for him, they could. I'm looking at Franco Harris here, who has roughly about 400 more yards, 500 yards than Fred Taylor. As we all know, Franco Harris, if I can recall correctly, is in the Hall of Fame, as is Marcus Allen, who is 14th on this list. And then also I'm seeing guys like Jim Brown and Marshall Faulk. All of these guys have roughly 700 to 400 yards over Fred Taylor in terms of all-time career. Now, I don't know, like, the longevity of their careers. That might have something to do with it, as we said with Mark Brunell. But when you look at where he is on this list and the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, yeah, he should certainly be in the conversation. And I mean, I wish it was something, a variable that I can control, because I would definitely have him in that conversation for the Hall of Fame, because essentially he's surrounded by guys on the all-time leaders rushing list. He's surrounded by guys that are in the Hall of Fame, essentially. So that's where I lie on that argument personally.
I mean, yeah, but you got to look at this real quick. The names you just rattled off, those are all household names. Even the most casual fans will probably recognize the name Marcus Allen. So, but if you ask the casual, Fran Taylor, be like, who? That's the argument that you can make against him.
Mm.
Here's the other argument, though. If he had a Dallas Cowboy jersey on, he'd be in.
He's a household name. He's a household, He's a household name if he's a Cowboy.
Right.
Exactly. Right. But that's not his fault that he, you know, he played right. for a small market team. You could, I mean, like, I don't understand why that is something people hold against him. He didn't have any control of who drafted him or where he went and how under the radar he was. The fact of the matter is, when you look at the stats, again, I don't know the longevity of some of these other guys' career, but when you look at the all-time stats in terms of rushing, I mean, he certainly, I mean, he does deserve to be mentioned with them. But I mean, I get where you're coming from with the whole.
If you look at the list, I just pulled it up. If you look at the list, it is Emmett, Walter, Barry, Frank Gore, who's the Surefire Hall of Famer, Curtis Martin just went in. Let's see. LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, Bettis, Dickerson, Peterson will go in once he hangs up his cleats, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, Marcus Allen. Everybody on this list except for Barry Sanders has played at least 10 years. The average is about 12. No, I'm sorry. Barry played 10, so yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, well, and Fred, Jim Brown played from 98 to 2010. He played 12, if my math is right.
13, yeah.
13, because you got to include 98. So, yeah, 13. So, I mean, like, the longevity was there with some of these guys. I mean,
again. All right, but here's a fair comparison. Fred Taylor has 11,695 yards. Right beneath him is Corey Dillon with 11,241. They played, it's about a two-year difference.
Corey Dillon's in, isn't he?
No, he's not.
No, Corey Dillon's not in.
Okay.
Warrick Dunn is in, if I'm not mistaken.
O.J. Simpson is.
Oh, we all know O.J.'s in. Ricky Waters.
He's more games.
Jamal Lewis. So here's the LeSean McCoy. All right, perfect example. Is Fred Taylor more worthy of the Hall of Fame than LeSean McCoy? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
I think so. And also another name on there. I think over the stretch of his career, he was better than Jamal Lewis, right?
I would say so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think
Jamal Lewis, again, like that has to do with the kind of the household name thing. Not so much that he was a household name, but he played with the Ravens, right?
Mm-hmm.
He played with that legendary defense that brought attention to his name. I think that's why people kind of.
Yeah, but he also put up 1,300 yards on the ground that year they won the Super Bowl in his rookie year. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's 1 year, though.
Yeah, and he followed it back up with a 2,000-yard season.
Yeah, and then he had the year where he probably should have broken the record.
Yeah, 40 yards short of breaking the record.
And by the way, Fred Taylor has 13,000-yard seasons, if I'm reading this right, and then he has two in which he had 1,200.
I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, Jamal Lewis has the numbers to back up if he was to have a legit Hall of Fame case,
right?
But who else is on here? Tiki Barber, if I'm not mistaken. Would you consider? All right, another perfect example, Eddie George.
Would I consider Fred better than Eddie George? No. Personally,
would you consider Eddie George a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, is he?
Okay,
is he not?
He should be, but he's not. I don't think he is.
I'm gonna double check it right now. But Eddie George has less yards.
Right. You
so
that's, yeah, that's fair.
But and Eddie George is not a Hall of Famer.
I don't know. Like, my biggest memory of Eddie is like the trouble he gave the Jags. So that's why I feel like he should be like. I mean, he gave a lot of team issues, but
he was a key part of the Titans during their peak run.
Right.
And he was a relatively dominant back. So the point is, Fred Taylor, Hall of Famer, probably. If this was the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, he'd be in by now.
Right.
Right.
Because everybody gets in.
I think we're up. I think we're up for the Hall of Fame next year, actually. We'll hopefully, you know, we'll get some.
Yeah, if this is baseball, there's like not even a snowball's chance in hell that he gets in. So, I mean, he has a puncher's chance. Marshawn Lynch will probably be a Hall of Famer. Ricky Williams. So it's iffy is what it is, but a large part of this is what you have to sit here and think. If you go look at the late 90s mid-90s to early 2000s, you think of running backs, are you going to name off Fred Taylor within your first five running backs you name off?
I think we would personally, right. But the average fan
probably would.
Brings up, of course, you know, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, and then you get into 2000s, LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, those kind of guys. Yeah. Pete Holmes, even name Jamal Lewis, like you said, those names probably come up.
Right. 98 to 2010, I'm thinking Barry, Emmitt, probably Tiki.
Ricky Williams early on.
Ricky Williams, Curtis Martin, LT, Ward Dunn still.
Yeah.
And that's just the average. You know, of course, we are bringing him up very early. But the average fan, yes, that's a good point.
Yeah. Right. I think if the Jags had made the Super Bowl, what was it, 1999 season, then that would maybe help his case. But
yeah,
and that's against him too. Is the whole Super Bowl thing.
And there's nothing with Fred Taylor, and this isn't a slight at Fred Taylor at all, that identifies Fred Taylor. Like Brunell, you know, to the common fan knows Mark Brunell. You can rattle off Brunell classic moments. It's almost like because Taylor's a running back and he played in a small market, he's a dime a dozen almost. Yeah. Like you couldn't go pick him out of a lineup if you're an average fan. And as whether nobody will admit this or not, popularity plays a slight bit into whether or not you go into a Hall of Fame.
Unfortunately, it does.
If you need any more proof, go ask Barry Bonds.
Oh, yeah. We know that. I mean, as a small market team, we know that better than anybody about the popularity argument.
And let's also keep in mind that Jacksonville has had a good run when it comes to running backs. You know, you look back at James Stewart, Natron Means, then they got into Fred, and then they followed that up with MJD. The verdict is still out on Fournette, but they've had a relatively good run when it comes to running backs as well.
Right.
So I'm assuming James Stewart wasn't on this top 25 list, but you know, he's definitely one of the more popular players, especially for the fans that have been around for a long time. So listen, guys, this is something we could probably make it a whole episode out of, but it's definitely good to open up the conversation, and it all starts with Fred having that reaction. So, you know, it'll be interesting right. to see what happens going forward. But hey, congratulations to him for still, and he, like I said, he still deserves to be in the top two, and you can make the argument that he could possibly be number one. But you know,
that's gonna make that reunion real awkward this year.
I know, right?
Yeah, should be.
Maybe we should
be.
Have him on the Jags then and talk about it. We'll let him.
I can see Tony right now. Hey, Fred, how you doing, man? Forget you, Tony. I don't want to talk to you, man. You know you got right. a spot, right?
Yeah, well, Fred Taylor might be adding to the – might be assisting the Jaguar subreddit in the most vulgar list under his his secret his burner account on Reddit. We might need to check some of those posts to come up here in the next few days. Might be Freddie out there defending himself. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, guys, so, you know, like I said, we can talk about this all day, but we'll get into some of the things that are happening right now as opposed to what has been in the past. So we're going to look forward, and one of the biggest things we'll get into here today, Jay, you sent me this earlier, the Jaguars and the city have agreed to a $450 million for the development of Lot J. This will be the beginning of something we've been talking about and hoping for a long time, and we're going to discuss the details and how it benefits not only the Jaguars, but also the city of Jacksonville. So when you first heard this news break, and Jacob, we'll have you go first. What was your reaction? You know, it looks like we'll finally get some of these visions that Shad Khan has had for a while, maybe come to fruition in the very near future.
Super Bowl, baby. Go ahead and get your Super Bowl tickets ready. So, you know, we can get a nice, good seat and some good hotels, because honestly, that's what this move is for. It'll stimulate the local economy on a regular basis because it'll have hotels, a residential area, office space, a live music arena. It's very similar to what the Cardinals have around Busch Stadium, and the Braves are working on as well. Plus, it also goes hand in hand.
Theirs is complete, by the way.
Well, the Braves.
I just went, last month.
Gotcha. So, yeah. And then also, there's Daly's Place right across the street. And like we've mentioned before, I feel like since this podcast has started, we've at least touched this at least about once every other month. So good to see that it's finally done, that we've made some progress, that we have an agreement. Now we just got to get things moving and shaking, and hey, we'll see what actually comes out of this and if it really will come to fruition.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, this is a big time move for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'll say that. And I think the most important thing to come out of this is to, and I've talked about this in a solo pod, is to entrench, if you will, Shad Khan into the city and, you know, get him to invest his money into the city as much as possible. Because what that and ultimately does, it prevents him from wanting to move to another city. I mean, you look no further.
Or London Jags.
Right. You look no further than the Pegulas, the Buffalo Bills owners, right? A lot of people, there's all of this talk about them needing a new stadium or big time renovations. But the fact of the matter is the Pegulas sound like they don't want to move from Buffalo. The reason for that is because they have invested a lot into the city of Buffalo. They have the hockey team there, and they have multiple, you know, projects going on there that they've invested a lot of money into. So, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, they do need to get the stadium situation addressed. But the Pegulas do, due to having a lot of money invested in into the Bills, sound like, or into the city, sound like they want to remain in Buffalo. And not only that, they sound like, at least right now, time will tell how they truly feel on it, that they want to somehow meet the, find some common ground with the fans and not bend their backs in terms of asking for a ridiculous price stadium that's going to be $1 billion or close to it. At least that's how they sound for now. So this is the most important part of it, is it continues to entrench. We don't know the details on how much money, who's going to put into this, Shad Khan, the city, whoever else. We don't know the details behind it, obviously. And some of it might come from, you know, like different grants and what have you, and tax rebates or whatever the case may be. But we don't know how much Shad Khan is actually going to put into this project yet. But I would feel like the more he puts into this project, the better I feel. And not that I feel skeptical about the team moving, but the better fans should feel, should I say, about the Jags' longevity in Jacksonville. So this is one of projects of many more that could come. That's another thing. This could make Shad Khan invest even more money into Jacksonville down the road. So there's that. That's how I feel in terms of about how it ties to Jacksonville and entrenches them and Shad Khan into the city. And in terms of for the fans, you know, this is needed because obviously, you know, we lost the landing. They're demolishing it or have demolishing it or are demolishing it currently. I don't know the latest on that because I don't live in Jacksonville anymore. But
yeah, it's a work in progress.
OK, yeah. Well, they're make no mistake about it, they're going to dynamite that thing or whatever the case may be, bulldoze it, whatever. That's in the plan.
Whatever you need to do, get rid of it.
Right. And people are going to need something downtown to replace the landing, some kind of a entertainment venue. Or what have you, a place for recreation and hanging out, this, that, and the other. And that's exactly what this is. It's just adding on to what Daly's place is. And not furthermore, it's adding on to making the area, not down just downtown, but the stadium area, a 24/7 hub for activity. Even when football is away from, you know, or football is not currently ongoing. So this will be a reason to keep people coming in, especially the residential area. If you're going to, you know, obviously people are going to live there. The office building, obviously people are going to want to do business with that. The hotel area, obviously people are going to want to use the hotel even when the Jags aren't playing football. So it really is going to like just make downtown the popular hub that, you know, Shad Khan wants it to be. The mayor wants it to be, the city wants it to be, and that it should be like in most cities. So those are the positives to come out of it from me. But again, like, you know, you can never be too safe with these things until the shovels go in the dirt. So that's another thing that I want to warn people of. But, you know, it's Curry sounds like a guy that's going to get this done. And a key to watch is first they have to get the ramps down, that, of course, the bridges that are in front of TIAA Bank Field. And once that comes down, you know, this thing could really pop off. But I'm positive on it, and I couldn't be happier to hear about the news.
You know, yeah. You mentioned, go ahead, Phil.
Downtown, it's always been frustrating as someone who's been in Jacksonville for a long time, because it should be a hub.
right,
of entertainment, and it really never has been. Now it is starting to trend in the right direction. You have dailies, you have a lot of really cool new bars down there and things like that, but then, you know, you look down the road and you have the old courthouse that's still there that's just right. decrepit. You have this abandoned condo project that never got finished, you know, so this is going to go a long way. And then, of course, you have the eyesore, that's the landing. You got to get rid of that. So it is nice to, hopefully it is to go in the right direction. I think really that should be the motto of this entire thing, is wait until the shovels go into the dirt. That's really the whole thing. Like, that should be the logo, is a shovel just going into the dirt. Like, right. Because until it actually happens, you know, you got to take it with at least a little bit of a grain of salt, and hopefully it goes right. Now, my question for you, Jay, is another topic we've had in the past is about Shot Con. So with this going through, this probably means there, as far as relocation for the stadium itself to somewhere else, do you think this means that he no longer asks for a new stadium in the future?
Well, I don't want to say he asked for a stadium to begin with, but he has been asking for, to put it in the most correct terms, especially in the last state of the franchise in April, Mark Lamping hinted at this, who is basically a spokesman for Shot Con, obviously, is they do need upgrades. Them and the Buffalo Bills, who I just talked on in their stadium situations, they are the two teams in the league who haven't had those major renovations. And by major renovations, I mean renovations of $400 million or more, or completely build a new stadium. So that is what I think, that's where Shot Con is now, is in terms of the stadium situation, is getting the renovations needed to, quote unquote, as Roger Goodell puts it, to make it to par with, you know, the league standards or whatever you want to say. So, yeah, I said all of that to say this. I think after this, the Daly's Place, not Daly's Place, but the Lot J thing gets done, that's the next thing to watch here, is how the city cooperates, if you will, on him with a plan to, you know, get the stadium renovated with major renovations. And ultimately, you know, Lamping did say this too. When they start talking about that and that gets addressed, then basically they want to renew the lease, because the Jazz lease, I think it's up in 2029 or something. So that'll put an extension on the lease. And I think that's the key thing to watch from here. But yeah, it's definitely a positive sign that he wanted to get the Lot J thing done, that they're going in the right direction towards that. That definitely would indicate that, you know, he feels like something's going to probably get done in terms of the stadium situation too. And an extension should come out of that, as Mark Lamping said.
Jacob, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, Jay mentioned the hotels coming downtown and how people want to stay there when the Jags aren't playing. You got to remember, the Jag Stadium, TIA Bank, hosts the largest college football game almost every year, at least the largest in the South, in the form of the Florida-Georgia game.
Right.
So that's just nothing but more than another revenue income. Because if all of this comes to fruition, you're going to be printing money.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, albeit $450 million, you should get that money back relatively quick. Yeah, relatively quick. I mean, a lot of factors key into that. But yeah, I mean, like, it's the hotel could be, like you said, for Georgia, Florida, which, I mean, that is actually occurring during football season anyway. So it's not like, you know, that'll be the point where people are going to the hotel for Jazz games as well. But yeah, like, people that want to come to these concerts for Daly's Place, for example, that could be something for them to look into. And in terms of the actual complex itself, it's probably going to be a live venue based off of what we've been hearing and what we read. I went to the Braves one, as I told you all, last month it was. And like, these things are fairly popular. Like, they feature bars in them. They feature exclusive restaurants. You know, they are, I guess you could say, kind of like a town center, if you will, that'll keep people coming there regardless of what's going on there. Albeit the prices were a little bit high, but that didn't stop none of those buildings, any of those restaurants or any of those bars from being jam packed when me and my homie Josh went to the Braves game. And yeah, it was just a dope concept to kind of see how it will work for Jacksonville. And I think pretty much they're thinking of a similar thing, is making the stadium a hub and downtown a hub.
Yeah. So
Yeah. Then the other question I had, Jay, is so a friend and I actually were talking about this. Say, you know, as far as renovations, that's probably the route that they go as opposed to a brand new stadium. But mm-hmm. would it be plausible for them to do something like, say, play in Orlando for a year or even in London for a year while they build a new stadium? Is that something that could happen?
Yeah, well, I think that me and you might have talked about that, actually. For me, I think if they want to build a new stadium, and I still firmly believe that's the route they should go, but I think they're leaning towards renovations because Shad Khan knows how much of a hassle it would be to completely build a new stadium and how the city would react and the city council would react to that. So that being said, I think this is my thing. I think if they're going to build a new stadium, I would prefer to have them play in Orlando. But remember, now Shad Khan tried to get that deal done to own Wembley Stadium. Now, had that gotten done, maybe that would be something that was on the table, them going to London for a year. But Shad Khan doesn't own Wembley Stadium. So that's, you know, that's an issue in itself. You know, that's a steep price to pay because you're not really the tenant of that building. So that being said, I think that would be a problem. And if they did go to London for a year, I think we should worry about them staying there personally. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know what? We like it here.
Right. Like, that would just, them going there in itself would be a worrisome process before they even play a game there. But, you know, I would personally worry about them coming back. So I think they should use the, what is it, Camping World Stadium in Orlando now? I think it used to be called the Orange Bowl before that.
Yeah.
I think if they want to build a new stadium, they should use that as an option because I mean a lot of their local fans, plus you forget like Orlando's a tourist town, that those games would probably do very well in Orlando. Personally, I don't see why they wouldn't. Of course the stadium might not be quote unquote up to an NFL standard, but they're only going to be there for a year or two. I mean, just ask the Vikings. They went to TFC Stadium or whatever it was. Yeah, they went there for a year or two. They weren't complaining about that. So yeah, that's how I kind of feel on that matter.
Oh, we got the London Jags. So, bye. I'm going across the pond. I'm probably not coming back. Right. Much like the team.
Right.
So, Wembley is beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, absolutely. And it is easy to navigate.
Yeah.
For a stadium that size that can hold that many people and fills up quick, I've never gotten in a stadium through security, through all the checkpoints, and to my seat. And I think it may have took 15 minutes once I walked up to security to stand in
line. Oh, yeah. By the way, Phil, this is another question. Speaking of questions people have asked, a lot of people have asked me, like, with me and my take on wanting a new stadium potentially, because, like, this is the thing, like, at $450 million, you're halfway at building a new stadium anyway. You know what I'm saying? So why not just build a stadium there? Which a stadium typically keeps a team there for 30 years or more. But that being said, on the whole stadium thing, a lot of people have asked me, you know, how could they do it with Daly's Place there? You know what I'm saying? Like, and all of this stuff that they're building that they will put around it with Lot J, how could you, you know, build a new stadium there with all of this other stuff going on around there? I think, like, the thing about Daly's Place is you could keep Daly's Place up and build a new, basically you would add the new stadium to Daly's Place, in my opinion, while they play in Orlando or wherever the case may be. Gainesville. They could play in Gainesville. That's another spot. No. But I mean, of course, me being a Georgia fan.
I wouldn't attend any games, but that could work.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, they had that stadium has the capacity. You could argue probably even more than Camping World Stadium. I don't know what's the seating capacity for there, but I know a SEC stadium has the capacity to hold a team for a professional team for 2 years, if needed.
The Swamp can hold basically 92,000.
Yeah, that's almost double Everbank TIAA. I'm sorry. So I don't know what Camping World can hold, but
let's see here. Camping World Stadium holds 65,000.
So yeah, here, my point.
Here's my case for Camping World. It is a much cleaner, easier, better stadium. For those that have never been down to the Swamp, that stadium is in a hole and on a hill. It is literally in a hole and on a hill at the same time.
A stadium. Yeah, I've been to their campus, never been to the stadium, so I wouldn't know.
No, the stadium is literally in a hole and up a hill at the same time. Yeah. But
so it looks like a Super Smash Brothers stage.
Basically. No, it looks perfectly put together, but if you walk through that stadium, you'll know the disc. You'll instantly know, like, who built this.
And then, yeah, I mean, you make a point. Like, I don't know what the shape that the swamp is in, but Camping World Stadium, if I can recall, they had renovations about roughly 8 years ago or something. I mean,
they've held two WrestleManias there in the past 15 years.
So, yeah. I mean, I could see that. I mean, for me, Orlando would be the preferred spot, but I'm just saying, like, it's options in Florida if they wanted to do that.
Because you're only playing seven games because you're going to lose one to London every year.
Yeah.
Plus.
Hey, wait a minute. We've had it. Wait a minute.
Just saying.
So, essentially, we're looking at 14 games in 2 years.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the check that you would have to break to Camping World will be significantly less than the check you have to break to the University of Florida.
Right. And again, I mean, just the population of Orlando would just make it perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, they shouldn't have no trouble in it, being that it's especially smaller than the swamp. You add in all of the traffic that's going to come in from Jacksonville, plus the people that's already there that are Jazz fans. I would assume it has a decent Jaguar fan base. And yeah, you have a situation where fans are showing up, and it's a good, you know, in terms of visually, you know, it's not an eyesore.
Yeah, and you're not on a college campus, so
yeah,
there's also that.
That's true.
Or you could just share Raymond James with the Bucks for a year, and you know, hey.
Well, that's the thing about it. It's just too far from their fan base. Their core fan base. It's just too far from Jacksonville, in my opinion.
You know what? Screw it. Just come play at Doak.
I'm not driving out there either.
I can't help you on that.
I've actually been to Doak. I think Doak is dope. It's a nice stadium.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've
been there. Yeah. So. Doak holds 80,000. It's a 15-minute drive from my house. Well, yeah, just come play at Doak. It'd be perfectly fine.
Well, definitely be interesting to watch going forward. And I think we're all just optimistic about them finally going through with this plan, and we hope that it does pan out. Unfortunately, Jay, you and I talked about this when we attended Fight for the Fallen a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, it looks like we probably won't get a WrestleMania now that the cons are friends with the AEW.
right. Yeah.
Whatever the equivalent is of WrestleMania for AEW, hopefully that comes down the line. But shout out to AEW also, the official Twitter account, for following the Jaguars wire. So make sure.
And retweeting us.
Exactly.
Twice.
So we are AEW's favorite Jaguar news site. Don't fact check us on that. Just believe us.
Shout out to AEW, man. Appreciate the love. Cody Rhodes and everybody in that camp.
One last thing real quick while we're on the stadium. You mentioned going it next to Daly's place. Yeah, just blow up Tia. Smooth it right off and just rebuild right on top of it. Nice and easy.
Wait,
the new stadium.
You lost me. Oh, no, I mean, like, you know, Daly's place is connected to TIAA Bankfield, but it's not like the construction to knock it down would affect Daly's place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But just
that's what I was saying.
Blow up Tia just right on top, and we just keep it moving nice and easy.
I don't know, man. If you blow it up, that dynamite send particles everywhere.
Implode it then. Carefully take it apart.
What they should do with the landing, basically. Right?
Yeah. Carefully remove pieces from it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I've always felt like they could do that. And basically, it's just like you're just adding the stadium on to Daly's place, if you will. But I don't know. Like, I have a hard time personally believing, although I would like a new stadium, I have a hard time personally believing the city of Jacksonville would do that. And it seems like Shad Khan knows that. And that's why they're aiming for renovations. But still, with that would come an extension in the lease that continues the longevity of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. So that's a good thing still, nonetheless.
Hey, I mean, if anything, just hire the Miami Marlins. They blow up stuff all the time. Right. Hey, yo, a little cross sports humor there for you guys. All right, let's move on.
Just hire Derek Jeter. That's all we need.
Let's move on to the next topic. Of course, training camp has been going on for the last couple of weeks. The last day that is open to the public will be tomorrow. And Jay, we want to talk to you about whose stock has been up and whose stock have been down, we'll point out three players specifically. So just from what you've heard from reports from training camp, Jay, and as far as how the players have looked, we'll start with the positives. Whose stock is up after these first couple weeks of training camp?
The first one I want to start with, I'm gonna take a different angle because we talk about the offense so much as of late, which I'll get into in a minute. But Quincy Williams, man, Quincy Williams, it's feeling like Quincy Williams is going to be the starter at Telvin Smith's position. And then not only that, furthermore, it's almost a certainty because when you look at who they signed two guys off the street. Basically, it was Ramiq Wilson, who I'm well aware of from the University of Georgia. And I would personally, I'm here to tell you, no offense to Ramiq Wilson, but he's not your ideal guy for the weak side linebacker position. And if people were mad at what Telvin Smith looked like in coverage, lo and behold, they will definitely be mad at what Ramiq Wilson offers in coverage as well. So that being said, him and Najee Good were the guys signed to come and battle for that weak side position with Quincy Williams. But dude, you at this point, it's looking like Quincy Williams is going to get that position. He showed up well in minicamp from what I read and heard. He showed up well in OTAs, always was around the ball. And then he gets to training camp, right? And Doug Marrone praised him yesterday, as a matter of fact, about him being the fastest guy on the field, perhaps. So as a rookie, when you're flashing like that to the point where Doug Marrone says you're faster than D. Westbrook on the field, and he said this was his own quote, like, D.D. might get mad at me for this, but Quincy looks like the fastest guy on the field. And D.D. did tweet him back about that, or tweeted the Jags account about that. But my point is, this guy is showing up and showing out, and I believe when it's all said and done, there's no way that anybody else but him is at the weak side linebacker position. So that being said, before I get into the other guys, I want to know y'all's thoughts on Quincy Williams taking Telvin Smith's spot trying to fill the veteran's role as best as he can.
I mean, we saw this coming, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure we sat there and tried to figure this out when the draft happened. We were like, oh, okay, this is what we're going for. So he's looking good. It's training camp. I am not putting stock in a training camp. You can't really light somebody up as much as you want to. It's dumbed down to an extent. This is not to diminish what he's done, because to be honest, he surprised probably a lot of people the way he's performed so far. So we shall see come week three of the preseason will be a real solid indicator of exactly what we have in Quincy Williams. But for right now, I'm glad to see that the rookie is out here catching on. He's performing and allegedly is faster than D.D. Westbrook.
I mean, look, this is the thing about it. Have you seen Ramiq Wilson? I don't know much about Najee Good, but have you seen either of those two play?
I've seen a couple clips. So, yeah, I mean, it's his.
Right. If Quincy Williams loses this battle, something is terribly wrong. Terribly wrong.
Amen. There's about $20 million in cap space, and like I said last episode, don't be surprised if Coughlin finds a way to not pay Yannick all of that and go get somebody.
We'll see. Who I don't know if it's anybody to get at, because I looked when Telvin Smith announced he was leaving. I looked that up. I was like, so is there anybody they can trade for? I don't even think there's anybody worth trading for, bending backwards for, putting your salary cap or two to bring in his place personally.
Let me just take a quick look while we sit here and continue to debate.
While you do that, Phil, what's your thoughts on Quincy Williams? Because I know, like, you were just as shocked as us when you saw him get taken in the third round.
Yeah, just like Jacob said, it's something we kind of saw coming. And how many times, you know, do we always hear this around exactly this time of the year? There's a guy that coach is talking about, hey, this guy is really standing out. Hey, he's going to be the guy, you know, he's looking really good. And then the season comes along and we forget that name, you know? So it is good though, to hear that he is catching on. And of course we were all shocked when we heard the Telvin news, but this does, it's definitely positive. It's definitely something to be enthusiastic about if you are a Jaguar fan. And, you know, if this pans out right alongside Josh Allen, which I think you're going to talk about here in a second,
right,
then hopefully it's, you know, we come in and And it's like, we never miss a beat because I listen to, as far as the national radio, really the only thing I listen to is Golic and Wingo in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. And one thing, even that when they do talk about the Jaguars, they are constantly talking about how, even though it looked like the defense took a step back, the numbers were still there. They were still a solid defense. The biggest difference was the turnovers were not there. Now the Bears saw last year. So,
and sacks were down like about 15. But
get you on the field for almost twice as much.
Exactly. When Blake Bortles put you on the field 80 times a game, your production
is off of people's helmets, you know.
So your production is going to decline. Yeah.
Right. So hopefully this is another gem that we found. And it does hopefully appear to be trending that way. Like I said, come preseason, even though it is a dulled down version of the actual game, if we see him flash here and there, that will be, I think last year, the guy that we saw was DJ Chark. You know, DJ Chark was not only on offense, he was looking good, but also special teams, doing whatever he needed to do. Hopefully this will be this year's DJ Chark. So it'll be good to see that. So who else do you have as far as the stock up on the team?
Yeah. Like you said, Josh Allen, man, Josh Allen has been, I know, especially on Saturday and Sunday, that's all you heard was a lot of people on Twitter and social media, the national guys, or should I say the local guys on their podcast, is praising Josh Allen. And the reason is, you know, we didn't get to really see him in minicamp because he had the knee contusion like the first day of OTAs, and they just held him out all throughout that in minicamp. So, really, this is the first look, and they're even easing him into it now. But this is the first look we've gotten to see at Josh Allen, and he has been as advertised. I think the thing that sticks out to me with Josh Allen, I don't know if y'all saw the tweet where he's hitting the sled bag, and I know it's just him hitting the sled bag. I understand that. But if you, it's not so much the impact he put on the sled bag, but did y'all see like how his physique, like he looks different than even in college. The college cameras didn't do him justice. I think, like, you look at the guy's calves. He got calves like Marcel Darius almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has lineman-like calves, man. And the length and, like, his arms are very toned to be essentially what was an outside linebacker or rush linebacker in Kentucky. But all of that aside, though, when you look at how he's performed in terms of on the practice field, albeit he's beat up on some second string guys because Cam Robinson isn't there clearly. But he's beat up on like Josh Wells, Leonard Wester, Cedric Obuji, who we're going to talk about a little bit later. So from what you hear and see on social media, yeah, he's been beating up on those second string guys, which I mean, still for a rookie that missed minicamp and OT.
So that's good.
Yeah, but for a guy that missed OTAs and minicamp, that's very alarming. This is his first time on the field going against professionals. So that's like that. I mean, not to say that he's going to be Von Miller or whatever the case may be, but I'm just saying, like,
be the first one. Say it. Oh, we'll clip it up and we'll put it on Twitter.
One of my bold predictions is that he's going to get 10 sacks. I'll say that. I believe he's going to get 10 sacks as a rookie.
All right, so let's go ahead and hit the timestamp button real quick. We are going to reference this and come back to this at a later point in time.
July 31st, 9:40 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay, I hit the marker on it right here. I'll mark it on the
check in about week 8 with you. Does that sound good? Or you want to check in a little later or earlier?
A little later. Give me a little. And additionally.
After the bye. When's the bye?
I have to look it up, or we'll have.
Hold on,
to
I got
look
you.
It up. Yeah.
Also,
I've been impressed with what I heard, seen, and have written and read about Josh Allen so far. What say you as Jacob does the research? What say you on that, Phil? In terms, of, I mean, I know you've been dialed into social media, is why I'm asking you.
Yeah, again, just something when we see the clips coming out of him, you know, getting around offensive linemen. It's, again, very something of, here's a lot of enthusiasm. But this being the Jaguars,
right?
You gotta just, you know, of course, take it with a little grain of salt. I think it'll be exciting to see him see him that first preseason game, see if he pops. Remember, Tyson Alualu's first play as a professional in the regular season was a sack. And all of us were like, oh, they got it right.
They got the pick right.
And then we pretty much didn't hear his name until he was released. So we didn't resign him. So not that I'm comparing, you know, what Josh Allen and Tyson Alualu, but still, again, something that Jaguar fans should be happy to see. And as a guy who is, you know, so highly regarded and a guy that everyone feels for the most part that we stole, it's good to see him flashing. And on the positive side of things, as far as his stock, that's a good thing. And right. I think with him having so much talent around him,
right?
Hopefully it means that he is taking it all in and knowing to have to come into the league. Mm-hmm. And have someone like Calais Campbell as a possible mentor. Like, man, come on. And then hopefully
Marcel Darius.
Exactly. And hopefully you get a guy like Yannick back soon.
Mm-hmm. Who likes Josh, by the way.
So, man, I think one of the things that Jaguar fans should be the most excited about, for sure.